very different from what we have in hydrodynamics, for instance. Second thing is that scalar field is isotropic, and in the case of condensate, is especially important because this is the only case when everything is in agreement with isotropy and homogeneity of the Friedmann universe. You see, isotropy. And third thing which is important is the existence of so-called slow roll regime. Roll regime for a scalar field. Now, this thing allows us to imitate equation of state, pressure is equal minus energy density. Now let's turn to vector fields. First of all, of course, vector fields also can make condensate. No problem with it. Main problem with vector fields are these two conditions. And let's see how to overcome them. Let's begin with slow roll condition. Okay? Normally, when I write Lagrangian or action for vector fields, it looks like this one, d4x square root of minus g. Then let's skip gravitational part. It's minus 1, 4, f mu nu, f sigma delta, then g mu sigma g mu g mu sigma g nu delta, right? Okay, and as you see from here, this Lagrangian is conformally invariant. So it means that if you multiply it by scale factor, then nothing will happen with it. Therefore, equations for vector fields normally precisely the same as equations for vector fields in Minkowski space, just if you will go to conformal coordinate. Now, how to correct this defect with conformal invariance? Normally, we know that for scalar field, for instance, there are, if you would write standard Lagrangian, then it's not conformally invariant. How to make for scalar field conformal invariance? For scalar field, you are adding term like a phi squared with a coefficient 1/6. And then it makes you field conformally invariant. For scalar field. And now let's use the same idea, but to make from vector field, which was conformally invariant, field which will be not conformally invariant, and moreover, will be in slow roll regime. So what I will do, I will add term like 1/2 a over 6, here a mu nu, and then a mu a mu. So it's like term which is for, which we have for scalar field, precisely like this one. And also, because I want to get after that some kind of potential for this vector field, some kind of condensate, which would behave like cosmological constant, let me add here m squared term. Don't worry for a minute that it breaks you U1 gauge invariance, because I could get this massive term as a result of Higgs mechanism, for instance. So it's not a big problem. Now, let's take this Lagrangian and write equation for vector field, assuming that vector field is homogeneous. Then one of the equations, first equation will be like this one, m squared plus a over 6 for homogeneous field A0 is equal 0. So from here it follows that zero vector component is precisely equal to zero. Now, what about AI, special component of vector field? You see, if I will assume that field is homogeneous, then it will be like this one. Dot means derivative with respect to physical time t for Minkowski metric. Plus A dot over AI dot plus m squared plus a over 6 ai is equal to 0. Okay, at the moment it doesn't look like equation for scalar field, which was in this case like this one, 3a dot over a phi dot plus m squared phi is equal to 0. But what does it mean, AI with down indices? It's not surely so-called invariant quantity which characterizes the strength of the field. What is important for the strength of the field is this invariance, which is a mu, which is nothing more for homogeneous field for which a zero component equal to zero, as minus one divided by a squared ai squared, summation over all indices I. Therefore, you understand that the quantity which really characterizes the strength of the field is square root of this invariant. So it's bi component, which by definition is 1 divided by scale factor ai. So you see that when bi, for instance, is in slow roll regime, then ai can run very fast. But this is real quantity, as we will see, which enters all the equations of motion. So, and then if I will introduce this variable, I can rewrite this equation in the form which will be precisely, okay, the form which recalls scalar field equation, bi. You see? Therefore, you understand that in the case when Hubble constant is exceeding mass, then you have precisely the same slow roll regime for the component of field bi. So it means just that, what that means, slow roll regime? It means that the typical time for the oscillation of this field is exceeding Hubble time. And you get nearly complete analogy with the case of vector field. Let's look, and then you could expect that you could have, where do I have this cleaner? Then you can expect that you could have, in principle, also inflation, or some kind of equation of state which imitates cosmological constant in the case of vector field. So, let's write this field and look how energy momentum tensor looks for it. So you see, T00 component, which is energy density, will be, irrespective of any assumption, just equal to bk dot squared, I assume summation over index k, plus m squared bk squared. Very similar, not very similar, practically identical to the case of scalar field, as you understand. Trouble appears, of course, with IJ component. So when did I begin? 10 minutes ago? Huh? Okay, good. So I still have 10 minutes. Good. So what is TIJ special component? It's minus 5/6. Then BK dot squared minus M squared BK squared minus 2/3 HB k dot bk minus 1/3 h dot plus h squared bk squared, and this is diagonal part of the special component. But in addition to diagonal part, there come off diagonal part, which is bi dot bj dot plus h bi dot bj, okay, plus symmetric, okay, combination of these two indices, and plus h dot plus 3 h squared minus m squared bi bj. So you see right now trouble in removing this off diagonal component. How can you do it? How can you make, for instance, from vector field, which has definite direction, some kind of isotropic condensate? The simplest way, but as you will see, not the only one, is to take triplet of vector field, which are mutually orthogonal. And if you will take triplet of mutually orthogonal field, so what does it mean, mutually orthogonal? It means that, okay, BAI, BBI, summation over I, is equal delta IB. So in this case, this energy momentum tensor is simplified very much. Okay, because there is a triplet of fields. The first of all, the appears in the energy density coefficient 3, but here also the appears minus 3 over 2, then bk dot squared minus m squared bk squared. You see delta ig. This is just the result of mutual orthogonality of the field. And then you compare this expression with the expression for pressure in the case of scalar field, and then you see that it's identical. No, up to coefficient, up to replacement bk with phi, and up to coefficient 3 over 2, because 3 fields. So you understand that in this case, you could imitate slow roll inflation precisely in the same way like for the case of massive scalar field. And you also understand that the condition for slow roll inflation here is satisfied when field B absolute value is larger than 1. Model becomes indistinguishable from the point of view of the behavior of background from the model of massive scalar field inflation. Moreover, you could just take here in the Lagrangian, which I removed already, some arbitrary function from a mu invariant, and then you can get any kind of slow roll potential with a triplet of this field, and you will generate the whole class of models, okay, which will be similar or identical to the models with the scalar field. But vector field allows us to achieve a little bit more. Namely, they allow us to make slightly anisotropic inflation. How to do it? You see, now, instead of considering just triplet of three vector fields, triplet of vector fields, let's consider large enough number n of randomly oriented vector fields, like this one. You see? Then, of course, if n is very large, then, and all directions are equally probable, then you expect approximate isotropization. But, of course, there will be also always, okay, some kind of anisotropy, which will remain there because of fluctuations. And in this case, if you would take, for instance, BR, BJ, many fields, index A, okay, characterize fields. A goes from 1 to N. Then what will be this quantity? It will be approximately equal to the number of fields divided by 6. 6 comes because you average over 3 directions. Yeah? Why 1/2 comes? I don't remember, but okay, doesn't matter. Then B squared, magnitude of B, for every particular field, I will assume that they have more or less the same magnitude, but of course, the things can be generalized for people who love to write papers, yeah, very easily to any kind of distribution of initial conditions, directions, or whatever you want. Delta ij plus, you expect, of course, deviation from anisotropy, from isotropy, or of diagonal terms, which will be of the order of some number of the order of 1, square root of n, multiplied by b squared. You see, this term is small compared to this term. Therefore, in first approximation, you could think that it's obvious that you could expect inflation perhaps for any big values of b. But this is not the case. Why? Because look at this term in anisotropic. Yeah. It's EG. Here, it's just order of magnitude. You see, assuming that this thing is for off-diagonal component. You see? No indices. Just, okay, approximately, or whatever you want. Yeah. So, it's equal to this quantity for I non-equal G. For instance, 1, 2. Now, look at this term. And this term, in fact, gives the biggest contribution to off-diagonal terms. And then if you would take this off-diagonal term, multiply it by h squared, yeah, will be square root of n, b squared. Then, if you want to trust in your isotropic solution, then, of course, this off-diagonal term should be smaller than diagonal terms. And diagonal terms are of the order of Hubble constant. So this is condition for to have isotropic solution really. And from here you are getting that quasi-isotropic solution with small deviation from isotropy you could expect for the values of vector field, which is smaller 1 divided by 4th power of n. Now, question is when inflation is over. In the case of one scalar field, inflation is over when the value of this vector field becomes of the order of 1, because, you see, at this moment of time, mass squared is equal to Hubble constant squared. Now, here situation with any vector field, like with this n inflation by Demopoulos and company, right? And here also you are comparing the value of Hubble constant, which in this case is multiplied by n. Yeah, so Hubble constant will be proportional to n, b squared, and you have to compare it with, and multiplied by mass squared, of course, because it will be this term, which will be dominating this thing. And this thing should be smaller than, Hubble should be smaller, should be larger than m squared. Therefore, you are getting that inflation is over when scalar field takes value 1 divided by square root of n. And in the region of B, between 1 divided by 4th power square root of n and smaller than 1 divided by 4th power of n, square of, how's it called, it's n in power 1/4. You have quasi-isotropic inflation. When B is larger, much larger than this value, then you have also inflation, but it's extremely anisotropic. You can have Hubble constant or cosmological constant, effective cosmological constant in one direction, much larger than cosmological constant in the other directions. But within this interval, there is still anisotropy, but this anisotropy is small correction with respect to this kind of isotropic expansion. Now, how long this inflation can last? You know, there is a formula for the ratio of final scale factor to initial scale factor. For the scalar field, it's like exponent to p for massive scalar field. Phi squared initial, you see? In the case of n fields in inflation, this formula is modified like this one. In the case when we take B, a vector field inflation, we substitute here B. And then we see that maximal number of E folds for this kind of quasi-isotropic stage of inflation is 2p square root of n. So take few hundred fields and then you will get more than 70 fold of this quasi-isotropic stage. But we shouldn't forget that in this case there is small anisotropy nevertheless in different direction. And moreover, anisotropy of the order of 1 divided by square root of n survives at the end of inflation. This anisotropy, of course, decays in subsequent stages. Therefore, it's not so interesting. But what is interesting is that during this stage of anisotropic, slightly anisotropic inflation, the modes of perturbations with different directions will be amplified differently. You see, so spectra which you would get in this case would be different. Of course, if I would be a little bit more, how it's called, a little bit less serious, I could tell, okay, just explain in two steps difference between north skies and south sky in observations. Because in this case, really, you influence statistical properties of the isotropy of the spectra. So this is one of the differences between this case and the case of scalar field inflation. I'm finishing. Now, the other interesting thing. Now, of course, you can generalize it also to any kind of potential, whatever you want, et cetera, et cetera, so no problem. Now, the other interesting thing. You could use this thing, for instance, for explanation of today's dark energy. And this is perhaps the only model which would allow you to have some kind of dark energy which would be becoming anisotropic only recently. Therefore, I know that experimentalists have this kind of project looking in different directions with supernova to verify how isotropic this dark energy. Okay? This could be one of the reasons, for instance, for this project, or for giving money to this project. Otherwise, I have no any idea actually how else you could think about anisotropic cosmological constant. Okay, so it's all. I think I didn't type. Thank you. Yeah. Why it's so large? Why too large? No, actually, anisotropy, which is larger than 10 minus 5, you can have at the end of the inflation. Okay, you see, this kind of global anisotropy will be removed. There are some kind of solutions. I think tau, people were looking for these kind of things. So it really dissipates. No, what you mean fine-tuning? I need at least few hundred vector fields if I don't want actually to have complete analog, of course, of scalar field with triplet. But triplet, it's okay, looks very natural, but if you have few hundred of these fields, I don't know. If you want, you can call it fine-tuning. Otherwise... Ah, 1.6. 1.6, okay, I don't know, it's fine-tuning or not fine-tuning, but you can do it, you can try to do it without 1.6. If it's not precisely equal to 1.6, then there will still remain slow roll regime. But of course, it's, if it's very different from 1.6, then nothing will remain from this regime. Yeah, you can actually assume. For instance, in this consideration, you can take more or less the same initial amplitude, but it's not a big deal just to take many fields to make distribution over directions and to make distribution in the amplitudes. When the number of fields is very large, as you understand, it doesn't play so much role. The same, precisely the same initial value or not precisely the same initial value. What's the... Yeah. Yeah. This is homogeneous in this sense. What do you mean? Yeah. I think so, but you know that zero mode you cannot quantize, as you know, because infinite volume, infinite action, so what to quantize that? It's by definition classical. Well, perhaps it can be, Andrei. I don't know exactly. Okay, because you, of course, can consider the scale which are much larger than observable scale, but nevertheless, effectively, okay, field when it's homogeneous or quasi-homogeneous is, okay, one particular realization is it's classical field, yeah. So what, Okay, we can discuss it perhaps later, because I do not understand you precisely. And you, okay, good. Yeah. Ah, okay, good. No? It can be. B have no expectation value. Then, you know that on large, yeah, okay, very good. Then, if it's in quantum mechanical sense, then after that you have particular realization of this quantum mechanical distribution process, yeah? And then if you have B squared for quantum mechanical field, and this B squared is very large, and of course within observable path, which you need, you got big value, then everything is fine. You see, when you make expectation, over, for instance, take expectation value for the quantum values, you have to think also what kind of size you are considering, because it should not be expectation or expectation value over all universes. You have one particular realization, and even if expectation values, for instance, for all possible universes is very large, then one particular piece from which originated the whole universe will be also large. Okay, good. I think satisfactory, or I misunderstood again? Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, good. Session. Okay.